You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for coming out and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name is Dr. Kevin.
And I'm the fool killing Jared. I pity the fools that I kill.
Ah, you know what, Jared? That's a good thing, actually, for today, because murder is on the top of the subject here as we are talking about truly horrific comic book characters.
Yeah, it's going to get disturbing. We were first going to, you know, a little behind the scenes, intel here. We were originally going to do horror icons, and then we were kind of like, you know what, we've done, like, in comic book horror icons, and we were like, you know, we've done that. We've talked about the characters that we want to talk about so many times. It would just kind of be like retreading old stories. So why not actually come up with characters that maybe some of you might have not even heard of that truly terrified us? I mean, that are like actually scary creatures, people in comic books.
Yeah, some really frightening stuff. I think we're going to have a really fun time with this one. And hopefully you guys do too out there in podcast land listening to us discuss this. So we're going to dive right in, get started here. Kevin, you were just talking about, before we got started, you were talking about this very educated man. I believe he went to college and got a degree. He goes by the name of?
Professor Pig.
Professor Pig, yes.
Terrifying.
Now, that sounds like a character from Clue, if I'm correct, but...
a little bit.
It's,
a little bit. Professor, and it's like, his real name is Laszlo Valentin.
Laszlo?
Yeah, Laszlo Valentin.
You know, they really went for the creepy name factor on that. Like, what's a weird, eccentric, creepy name? Laszlo Valentin.
Now, that happens to be Kevin's, actually, was originally supposed to be named that. That was going to be his first name.
Hey, I would have accepted it. I would have been cool with that.
Oh,
however, I wouldn't be cool with this guy's origin. This poor guy, scientist who suffers from schizophrenia, and he breaks down and becomes a supervillain. He wears a pig mask, which looks really, really disturbing. If you saw this, like, at the middle of the night waking up, you scream your life out. You mean scream your lungs out. I mean, this dude is creepy looking. And I believe this character may have influenced the Human Centipede movies. Who knows? Because of some of the things that he does when he kidnaps people and does surgeries and things to permanently change them and merge things together.
Doesn't he like give them pig faces too?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's truly creepy. And that he first premiered in what issue of Batman?
Are you ready for this? Batman issue 666.
Oh shit. Let me guess, Grant Morrison.
You got it. And Andy Kubert.
Now, I was first introduced to this character. I had seen little clips of him and I was like, who the hell is that guy? Because he looked like out of a video game, like one of those, like a horror video game. And he's like that creepy. But I was playing Arkham Knight, the video game, and he was a side quest, and it was actually pretty goddamn terrifying. Like, you go to some warehouse and he's there like chopping up people or something or doing some kind of stuff, and you have to bring him in, and he's a kook. Like, he's a freaky kook. If you will hopefully have a picture of him, but he's almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre with like a piggy face.
Yeah, that's right? Supposed to describe. And he's into doing human animal hybrids, you know, mind controlled, known as Dolatrons. Dolatrons, very interesting and scary at the same time.
Dolatrons or Dolomites?
Dolomites would be cool.
Dolomites would be cool.
Dolatrons are scary.
Yeah, very scary.
Ah, nice, nice. So Professor Pig, he's not a nice guy. He's somebody that you would want to shut down relatively fast, particularly if you're in the Batman world, because once he gains steam, it can be truly terrifying. I don't think that I would want to cross paths with Professor Pig. You have to imagine these characters being brought forth into the real world.
Oh, I was just about to say that.
And how that would affect you. Like, that's terrifying if you think about it. Just terrifying that someone wants to alter the way you look and like the way you function and add pieces and take away stuff. And they just want to experiment with you.
Well,
with
to your body. To be honest with you, apparently this is real. If you go, like, I've heard about, if you look at those, some of those YouTube, like those deep web pages or dark web pages, mm-hmm. apparently there are people who do things like this. They'll kidnap people, switch body parts with animal parts or other parts. They can do all kinds of crazy experimentation on them, which is really frightening.
Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Now I'm already scared and we're only on our first one.
Well, if I were you, sir, lock your doors, protect your kids, get your shotgun ready, and let's go to the next one.
Justin Young, I believe, or Justin.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah,
Justin Long, I think the actor. Is it Long?
Oh, the Walrus movie.
Tusk. Yeah.
Tusk. Yeah.
Apparently, right. Kevin Smith did that to him, and we haven't seen him act since. So
That's right.
You just don't know, guys. You just don't know.
That sucks.
Can't trust anybody. Jared, do you? You probably have somebody in mind when we're. Talking earlier, I think you mentioned somebody.
Yeah, I got somebody. Let's do Mr. Hyde. And now Mr. Hyde has many I always want to say incantations, like I'm fucking casting a spell. Incarnations.
Right.
I'm reading too much Doctor Strange. There's the Marvel version, which I think is cool, but he's not really truly terrifying. He's just, you know, he's kind of just a kind of strong psychopath. But the one I'm talking about is from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Now, the idea of Jekyll and Hyde always kind of creeped me out because it's just the fact that you're with some like kind of like weird, weaselly little nerd guy, and then all of a sudden, like, he gets pissed off and drinks a potion and like becomes some raging beast who is uncontrollable, which, as I was describing it, is the Incredible Hulk, right? I mean, the Incredible mm-hmm. Hulk is Jekyll and Hyde, like, completely. Mm-hmm. But the Hyde in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, what makes him so terrifying is he's first off, like, if you haven't read the story, it's pretty much Alan Moore taking, like, all these historical characters, or I should say literary characters, and making them a team. Like, he's got Mina Murray from Dracula, he's got Alan Quatermain, and the Invisible Man, and Jekyll and Hyde, or Dr. Jekyll, who becomes Mr. Hyde. And so in the comic, when they recruit him, you first meet him, they're trying to recruit him, obviously, because for his strength and all that, but they do know he's unpredictable. So he picks up Mina Murray thinking she's posing as a prostitute, and he takes her back to his apartment where he transforms into Hyde, and he goes to kill her. So that's how you're introduced to him. So when I was reading the story, I was like, why do they want this psychopath on the team? Like, he's crazy. But they kind of find a way to appeal to him and his kind of duality. But what truly made him terrifying in the story was, one, you never knew. Once he became Hyde, you never knew if they could control him or not. And it wasn't like, and this is Alan Moore writing it with, you know, on an independent label. So he could do whatever he wants. So it's not like the Hulk where you're going to be like, somebody's going to calm him down. And at the worst, he's going to wreck some stuff. It was like, if Hyde went crazy, he might just rip your face off.
Mm.
And pretty much the penultimate, like, event that happened was in, I think it was volume one of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The team is double crossed by the Invisible Man, and the Invisible Man, I think they allude that he might even have sexually assaulted Mina Murray, and he beats her up, and like he double crosses them. Yeah.
Oh.
So Hyde, by this point in the story, Hyde kind of has this affectionate kind of Beauty and the Beast thing for Mina, and he wants to protect her. Uh-huh. So he hunts down the Invisible Man. Like, he's still got his smarts of Dr. Jekyll. So he actually uses like infrared, like, vision to find the Invisible Man. And this is where it gets sadistic. He takes him into this room where he like corners him, and he just beats the shit out of him. And then he rapes him to death.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Lord.
So, yeah. He rapes him to death. And like, oh God, it was, just, I remember reading that going like, oh fuck, like you wanted to see the Invisible Man get his, but then you're like, holy shit, this is going to another fucking level. And that was pretty much Mr. Hyde for you in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Just a truly unpredictable, terrifying character who at times was heroic, but then mostly was just barbaric and insane.
How am I going to sleep tonight just thinking about that?
I know. These are only two out of our 10. This is insane.
Kevin, if you misbehave, Mr. Hyde's going to sneak into your room and rape you to death.
Good old rape to death.
Well, yeah. that's why I have my sword next to my bed, just in case.
God, I know we did a live podcast not too long ago about Dark Disney, and I think this is outdoing that.
This is definitely more extreme.
Hey, 'tis the season, All Hallows Eve. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. So I have one here that I wanted to bring up. I think this is going to fit in quite nicely, actually. A while back ago, not too terribly long.
Poor choice of words, Donald. Fit in nicely.
Well, you know, sometimes things are, a little tight. Try to fit it. Okay, never mind. I'm just going to move on.
Go on. I'm sorry.
So the Sinestro Corps, I don't know. For those that don't know, there was the Green Lantern Corps, which is Hal Jordan. He's part of the Justice League. And Sinestro used to be like Hal Jordan before there was Hal Jordan. But Sinestro went a little dark, and he thought that the way to rule people was not through living by example, but it was through fear. So he created his own team of lanterns called the Yellow, and they ruled by fear. That's how they powered their ring. And the Green Lanterns was willpower, and the Yellow Lanterns was fear. So he started to recruit people, and one of these characters that he recruited was a character named Crib. Crib is a frightful hunchback alien. He's got a particularly nasty modus operandi. It's actually she. She attacks Green Lanterns who have newborn children.
Yes.
So she instills fear into their hearts by threatening the life of their child and then strikes. After murdering both parents, she then takes the child and puts it in her sack-like back.
Oh, yes. My goodness. That's scary.
So the back is kind of made out of, to give you an idea, she kind of looks like the Ring, the character that comes out of the television, but with a very sinister-looking, large, long, gaunt face with a smile and teeth and very slanty kind of narrow eyes and nostrils, big long claw hands and feet. Yeah. And her back is made out of bone, where the children then are stuck inside of.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Are screaming and holding on to this bone, trying to get out. And she carries them along with her as part of her power, because as she's instilling fear in them, she's generating more power for herself.
Wow.
So it's truly a terrifying thing. She literally terrifies these children to death, kills their parents in front of them, and kidnaps them and puts them in her bone-like back. Imagine that.
Now, was her first appearance as a part of the Sinestro Corps? Because that's where I first saw her.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. She first appeared in a Sinestro Corps title story.
Yeah, I remember reading that and just being like, you know, he went all, like, he had Superboy Prime, he had the Anti-Monitor. I was like, okay, this is, like, nuts. And then I was like, oh, and you even have to throw in, like, some fucking super, super, like, disgusting creature. It's Crib, too. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Not somebody you would want to run across, particularly if you were married and had kids.
No. Which I am. So I don't want to hang out with Crib.
Yeah. Kevin and I would be okay, but Jared, you'd have to get the hell out of there fast.
Yeah, I'd have to, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
All right.
I'd have to get Hal to take care of me.
Yeah.
Help me, Hal.
Help, Hal. Hal Jordan, help me. All right, Kevin, what do you got?
Well, the next one I have, I don't think really has much plot to it, to be honest with you. It's basically an extreme version of The Walking Dead called The Crossed.
Okay.
And essentially what happens in this particular story is, you know, America is overrun by a bunch of homicidal maniacs who have been infected with, you know, some kind of plague that leaves a scarred cross on their face. And they just go absolutely wild. It just basically taps the most extreme evil version of the human brain and the human mind, where they rape, they kill, They destroy, rampage. It's just every imaginable horrific crime you can think of is done in these books. I mean, this is like NC-17 X-rated material, just ruthless.
And it's written by
Mr. Garth Ennis.
Yeah, so you know you know, you let that guy go wild, it's just going to be, I mean, with, you know, Preacher, The Boys, like that guy, he's no holds barred.
Yeah, so, and Avatar right. Press, you know, the independent label, of course, you know, it's all free reign. Do whatever you want. And basically, Mr. Ennis has complete, and I mean complete, creative control over his story. I mean, it is out of there. I mean, the covers tell you a lot.
I would not be surprised if we see a more tamed down version of Crossed at some point. Now that The Walking Dead's wrapping up and they're, right. you know, they're trying to do some offshoots and stuff. I think Crossed, it's a perfect time for Crossed to be done and to take over, to be honest. And I think you're going to probably see it because Ennis had Preacher done. Ennis has now had The Boys done. And Preacher and The Boys in comic book form is much more grotesque and much more violent than what it is in the television versions.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind. So with Crossed, it's going to be even more violent. Basically, it's the primal instincts of these characters. If they want to have sex, they will just rape you. Man, woman, child, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes.
They are infected with this virus. They've got these bloody crosses across their face. They are after just the most basic needs. They'll kill you to eat you. They'll kill you to rape you. They'll kill for pleasure. It doesn't matter. If they're bored, yeah. they'll kill you.
And they're smart.
Do it nicely either.
And they're smart too. It's not like regular zombies where, you know, you can probably hide somewhere. Oh, these cats, you know, their brains are still functioning in that, in a sense that they'll track you down. They'll be looking for you.
A truly frightening zombie. Yep. One that can think outside the box.
Yep. I got to read this now, but I also don't want to read it because I'm scared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kevin, you said it was even too scary for you. You started to read it and then you just, you had to get rid of it because you were like, this is too much for me.
Yeah, it's too much for me. Actually, you sold most. I think I may have one or two left somewhere in my collection. But yeah, most of them I just got rid of. I was like, man, this is just too much, even for me. It's just because really there's not much plot, to be honest with you. It's just this
mayhem.
Just mayhem, you know, whatever right. survivors are left, they're just trying to do everything they can to survive. And if someone gets caught, you know, God help them. It's over.
Yeah. And Jarrett, you have another one?
Yeah, this one. Now, this character, there's not much to this character because in comic form, this character didn't do much. The character's name is Wallow. Wallow is a demon that worked with Blackheart, premiered in the Ghost Rider series, volume 3, number 87. Now, there's a version of this character in, I think, the second Ghost Rider film. This is nothing to do with that. They just took the name because the character in that is like some like water demon or something. I don't know. And uh-huh. the character looks lame. Now, if you look at the character, the reason I even chose this character, because the first time I saw the comic that this character appeared in, I was like, what the fuck is that? It was a Ghost Rider book, so I was sold on that. The character is like all kind of like this, almost like maroon color, just all like goo, almost like a Venom Carnage type thing, but then with a little baby doll face in the middle, like a shrunken baby doll face in the middle of their face. So I was like, that's pretty terrifying. So, and the story, so this is the history, it's brief. Character's name is Max Pressman. He had murdered his wife Maria and attempted to kill himself and his two small children, Michael and Melinda. A police officer shot him before he could do so, but Pressman eventually returned as a ghost-like entity with only the face of Melinda's doll as his own. He was called Wallow, able to induce and feed upon human misery.
Jeez.
Approaching the now adult Melinda, he stirred despair within her until she stepped from a 10-story building. However, she survived the fall, and Ghost Rider hurried her to a hospital. Wallow next pushed Michael off another roof. So he's still, he tried to kill his kids. He becomes a demon and then tries to come back and kill his kids by making them so miserable they'll kill themselves. He's eventually defeated by Ghost Rider's penance stare and he's reduced to ashes and he goes back to Blackheart's realm. And he really was never seen much more in the comics after that. And I'm guessing it's because he's kind of, for Marvel 616 universe, he's kind of too much. He's a little disturbing, I think, even for them.
Yeah. They were like, you need to dial it back a bit. And he's like, okay, I'll just kill him off.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. The fact that, like, this guy kills his wife, his origin starts off with a murder-suicide. And then he literally comes back as a demon so he can kill his kids. Is wow. just fucking demented. With this little baby doll face.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, wow. I don't have anything quite like that, but I have one that's pretty disturbing nonetheless. We'll go with Anton Arcane / The Rot.
Oh, yes.
Now, anybody that knows anything about Swamp Thing and Swamp Thing comic book lore is that Anton Arcane is basically the number one nemesis of Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. Swamp Thing is part of the Green. It's a life-giving force that helps keep the planet alive. Whereas Anton is part of the Rot, which is the life-taking force that uses decay as a power. Now, both of these have to be in balance in the world. And in the real world, you have to have a balance of life and death. And in that, decay. What would happen if you birds that died or things like that didn't decay? You know, if maggots didn't come, if bacteria didn't come and help break things down, if animals didn't eat and digest and ingest these, you know, pieces of meat and stuff like that, you would just have dead carcasses lying everywhere. It would be a mess. The problem is that the Rot wants to have all of that all the time. It wants the world to be an entire rotting corpse that just continues to rot and fester. It loves the grotesque and the deformed. It loves the dead. It wants you dead simply so you're part of it. And that's something that's super scary if you think about it, because the Green, which is the life force, wants you part of it because it wants you alive. It wants you to live. And if you're able to live, you're able to move forward in your life and create and generate and do great things. If you're dead, you're not doing anything. You're just rotting. And that's what the Rot wants. It wants you lifeless. So Anton was a brilliant but deranged scientist who dedicated his life to discovering the secret of immortality. He was born in the 19th century. He's still alive, guys. This is how old this dude is now. But by binding himself with the Rot, he was able to finally figure out how to become immortal by being dead. So he's basically kind of like a zombie in his own way and very creepy. He's not a nice dude. He was even friends with Adolf Hitler, I believe, at one point. So just to make him an even worse character, just add that in, that he also enjoys the company of Nazis. So Anton Arcane / The Rot was my second choice here for truly terrifying characters. And Kevin, since we're running low on time, we'll move on to you quickly.
All right. My third one is Violator, one of Spawn's villains.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, a powerful hellborn demon. And his purpose is basically to guide Hellspawns towards fulfilling Malbolgia's desire to cultivate evil souls on Earth for Hell's Army. So, of course, you know, he's there trying to manipulate Al Simmons when he became Spawn. And, of course, another version of him is earthly disguised as, like, the clown. And, of course, for those who saw that, you know, mediocre Spawn movie from the late 90s was played by the great John Leguizamo.
Right.
Yeah, and he did a great job, too. He did a really great job.
So the character is double terrifying, though, because when you look at him as the Violator, he's this really grotesque, creepy demon. And then his human form is like John Wayne Gacy, pretty much, like in a clown outfit.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what? That's a great example, Jared. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so you don't really have to go forward on that one because that says it all.
Yeah.
Jared, you have one more?
Yeah, I got one more. This character, Murmur, from The Flash. His first appearance was in Flash Iron Heights, #1. This was so out of left field for a Flash villain, and it's actually what got me to start reading Flash, because I was like, because there was like a showcase or something on this character. Murmur is Dr. Michael Amar, a once-respected surgeon, succumbed to madness and started a killing spree to stop the voices inside his head, as we do.
Right.
This spree went through Central and Keystone City and caught the eye of police officers Fred Chire and Joe Jackman. They tracked Amar down, and they with the help of obviously Barry Allen. And part of Amar's psychosis is the inability to stop himself from blurting out his crimes. Because of these outbursts, he's quickly convicted and sentenced to death. So he's in court, and he just starts yelling like, "I killed them! I killed them!" And the guy looks freaky. He kind of looks like Sideshow Bob. Like, he's got Sideshow Bob hair. And, except black, and he's a super scrawny guy. So to stop himself from blurting out his crimes, he cuts out his own tongue and sews his mouth shut so he will no longer be able to incriminate himself. He wears a thin mask of his own design, and he becomes known as Murmur. This guy was such, like, kind of like Professor Pig, how he was like, you know, Batman's villains are dark, but that guy was kind of on another level dark. Murmur is so out of left field, and he's become one of the Flash's rogues. But he's just so demented, and he just, all he does is carry around like a knife, and he uses like, I think his blood is like, he can't get diseases, but he can infect people with shit. He's just a really sick dude. And the way he looks, like I said, he's got this like stitched up mask he puts over his face, and his tongue, if he takes his mask off, his mouth is sewed shut.
So he's like, Michael Myers meets Sideshow Bob.
Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. I've got one for you here. Not too far off from that kind of creepy. His name is Birthday Boy.
What?
Yeah, Birthday Boy. That's literally the name. It's a Batman character. He was created by Jeff Johns and Gary Frank for Batman Earth 1. Now, that was, I believe it was a trade that came out. So, Birthday Boy, a.k.a. Ray Salinger, was a serial killer. Note the last name, Salinger. Mm-hmm. Was a serial killer whose first victim was a 15-year-old girl. And her name was Amanda. From then on, he kind of became obsessed with girls who were around that age, around 15 years of age.
Already creepy?
He would then kidnap them, tie them up, give them a birthday cake that said, "Happy Birthday, Amanda." Then he would tell them to make a wish and not to tell anybody. And then he would kill them. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He kept all his victims' bodies in the basement of Arkham House. And at some point, he escaped from the Crane Institute and became employed by, at the time, Mayor Oswald Cobblepot as a hitman. And Oswald paid him in payment with little girls.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jeez, good Lord.
Yes. Talk about freaky. So, yeah, not somebody you want to hang out with, and definitely not somebody you want to meet at a birthday party, I'll tell you that much.
Jesus.
Yeah. So our last one, I think what we're going to go over quickly is one that I found rather interesting myself, and I know you guys have gone over it and looked at it. We are talking about Demon Baby.
Yes. Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So anybody want to mention real quick anything about the Demon Baby? I will say quickly what he looks like. He looks like a little imp, kind of all pinkish red. Real nasty looking face on him, you know, a scowl, and he, you know, his pointy ears, and he looks like a little demon baby, literally, just a little kid, a little baby kid.
Now, this was the character we're talking about from the Daredevil comics, right?
Yeah. It was created by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. He's like a little terrifying, without being a, you know. Just right on the button, a demon baby. He looks like a little freaky demon baby.
Yeah. Basically, the demon baby was summoned by Lawrence, who was a man who'd been cast out of the hand and who was a practitioner of ancient ritualistic rites. But in order to give it to Jonathan Powers, the Jester, for a power boost is what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. When the Jester was defeated by Daredevil, the demon baby began possessing various people and inspiring them to violence.
Jeez.
And that means that he would then could make his way back eventually to who'd summoned it. So he was trying desperately to jump from body to body to find his way back to the guy that had summoned him, which was Lawrence, the dude that was from the hand that practiced the occult, basically.
So this guy pretty much is just... alone. In fact, all of these characters, I would say, alone could just be their own horror films.
Yeah. Demon Baby was able to possess the bodies of human beings and was able to grant them superhuman strength, endurance, and agility, as well as the ability to fire green energy from their eyes. Once the host body expired because of a certain amount of stress, the Demon Baby then was vomited up and would immediately scurry to go seek out a new host. So,
Demon Baby, yeah!
Yeah, the same room with this thing, it would be vomited out and then would run towards you and try to get inside your body. Probably any orifice would do, to be honest.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, not something that you would want to be in the vicinity of as well. I don't know, honestly, out of all that these that we've discussed, I think probably Kevin and I are the safest with Crib. And that's something. Truly terrifying. I don't know what to say about these characters except for don't get near them. And if you read about them, if you want to read the comic books that they were involved in, please feel free to do that. I mean, this was a Daredevil arc by Bendis for Demon Baby. So it wasn't that long ago, within the last 10 years, that this story was written. I think it was Daredevil number 73, actually, which was his first appearance. So,
yeah.
And he appeared, I think, in only like 5 or 6 issues. So it wasn't there for a long time. But boy, it sticks with you when you read something like that.
All of these. Yeah, I hope we truly creeped you out, some of you, and or got you to go, wow, I've never heard of that character before. And now I'm going to read them and then cry myself to sleep.
Yeah.
In the fetal position.
But with that, I think we're going to leave you haunted in, maybe very disturbed. And please subscribe to us on YouTube. We're on the Rumble Spoon Productions page on there. We can always use more subscribers. We appreciate that. We do a live podcast usually every Monday. So feel free to check us out on there on YouTube as well.
We answer all your questions. We communicate back and forth with you, and we usually have a pretty awesome topic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a good time with everybody that gets involved in chats and stuff on there.
That's right. Mondays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time.
Uh-huh. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We have some
listen
great stuff
to us on anywhere you can find a podcast. You can find us, I'm sure. Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio. We are everywhere.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. Yeah, if you throw a dart at a podcast app, we're probably on it. So with that, again, my name is Donald.
My name is Dr. Kevin.
My name is Jared. And if you do make it out in the outside world, put a mask on, open the door to a beautiful shop, because we might see you at that shop. We might see you at the comic shop.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Have a good night.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.